If you'd like to spend some time with real people with a real heart for God, we welcome you to visit us at Harvest Church in Alexandria, Virginia. Our Sunday morning services are held at 10:30, and our Family Night Fellowship takes place on Wednesday at 7 p.m. Come experience God's awesome, life-changing power as we worship in His presence, fellowship with one another, commit to discipleship, and share God's love through evangelism. For more information or directions, visit harvestnova.com. That's harvestnova.com.
Romans 12, verse 2 says this: "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." I heard a bold statement that someone made, and it's a bold statement, but I think it's true. Notwithstanding the fact that sometimes God intervenes in our situation and changes our circumstances, are you thankful for that? That God answers prayer and God changes things. I still believe this statement is true. Listen to this. God is more interested in changing your mind than changing your circumstances. God is more interested in changing your mind than changing your circumstances. Our minds, our thought processes have a great deal to do with how we live our lives. I want to suggest to you this morning, and this is still introductory, but I want to suggest to you three reasons why we must manage our minds. Why must I manage my mind? First reason is this: it's because my thoughts control my life. My thoughts control my life. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts." Did you know that? How you and I think shapes our lives, has a great deal to do with how we live our lives. My thoughts control my life. Secondly, I must manage my mind because my mind is the battleground for sin. Romans 7:22 and 23 says this: "For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members." The mind is the battleground for sin. James tells us that sin is conceived in the mind before it is ever lived out through our actions. My mind is the battleground for sin. The third reason I must manage my mind is because it's the key to peace and happiness. Romans 8:6 says, "The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace." And so much of what is wrong in our world is because of faulty thinking. It's because of patterns of thinking that are not conducive to healthy lifestyles. And that is just as much true for the believer as for the non-believer. So for the next few minutes, understanding that it's critical that I and you and I manage our mind, manage our thinking, I want to suggest three daily choices for a healthy mind. And I phrase it like that because we can make the choice to have a healthy mind. I remember, I think it was Martin Luther said this. He said, my thoughts are like birds in the air. I can't control what flies over my head. But I can keep a bird, I can't keep a bird from flying over my head, but I can keep it from building a nest in my hair. Thoughts are like that. We say, "Well, Pastor Tim, I have these thoughts come into my mind." And sometimes thoughts that we don't, plan on or desire, they come into our mind. But we have a choice on whether or not to dwell on those things. Do we understand that? We have a choice in how we think. So, what are some daily choices for a healthy mind? First thing is this: I must feed my mind with truth. I must feed my mind with truth. Listen to the following scriptures. Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, "Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." In Psalm 119, verse 147, it says, "I rise before dawn and cry for help. I have put my hope in your word." And then in Psalm 119:97, "Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long." Psalm 16:7 says, "Even in the darkest of night, your teachings fill my mind." We need to feed our minds with truth. So, Pastor Tim, how do I do that? Well, we need to feed our minds on the Word of God. You know, we hear a lot, we've heard a lot of usage of this word lately, misinformation, haven't we? Misinformation. Now, I submit to you that, misinformation is not something, or the truth, opposite of that, is not something that is just decided by the majority. You know, it seems like in our culture, the majority determines what's true and what isn't. So everything that's labeled as true is not necessarily true. And everything labeled as being false or being misinformation is not necessarily misinformation. Let's understand that right now. We say, "Well, Pastor, how do we know the difference?" Well, when we focus on the Word of God is true. How many know that this morning? From cover to cover, from the first letter of Genesis to the last letter of Revelation, everything in the Word of God is true. It doesn't just contain truth. It doesn't just have truth sprinkled in it. Every word, every letter of the Word of God is true. When properly understood, when properly interpreted. And so, that is our anchor. Church, we need to be feeding ourselves on the Word of God. That's why, you know, you can't get away from the basics. Do we know that? I mean, that's true in anything. You know, when you're driving your car, you can't get away from the basics. When you teach your kids to drive, how many have been through that harrowing experience? Yes. Your prayer life increases during those times. When you teach your kids to drive, you teach them the basics, right? Make sure your seat is in the proper position. Adjust your mirrors, you know. Put your hands 10 and 2, you know. All those are the basics. How much more true is that in relation to spiritual things? And one of the basics is reading and digesting and being spiritually nourished by the Word of God. It's basic. And there are many, many believers who are spiritually malnourished. And we feed ourselves on, you know, online news sources and information from this person and that person and this source and that source. And our smartphones and our computers are blowing up. We live in the information age. But the arbiter of truth always has been and always will be the Word of God. Where it says in one place, "Let God be true and every man a liar." And every bit of information that we digest needs to be measured against the truth of the eternal Word of God. If it doesn't agree with God's Word, we don't need it. It's not true. It's not of any value. We fill our minds with everything but the truth. There, you can go to Wikipedia, which is not, by the way, the all-perfect news source. I hate to break it to you. And I use Wikipedia. You know, it's great for basic information, but if you want to track down the veracity of something, don't go to Wikipedia, because That's just edited by anybody, and it can lead you astray. There are a list of hoaxes on Wikipedia, many lasting for more than a year, and a few of them lasting as long as even 9 years. And you can find a list of Wikipedia hoaxes on Wikipedia. And so, we don't know what to believe sometimes. Isn't that the case? Regardless of what the issue is. I think it's helpful sometimes to say these three words. I don't know. Isn't that liberating? What do you think about this? I don't know. I hear this and I hear that, but I can't be sure. But when it comes to the Word of God, if the Word of God says it, I believe it. I know it. Amen? And so, how do we ground ourselves, anchor ourselves? How do we manage our minds? We must feed our minds with truth. It's amazing. It shouldn't be, I guess, but it's amazing how when we fill our minds with the Word of God and we come to a situation in life, man, a scripture or a passage will come to our minds and will inform us about the reality of the situation or how to act or what to do. Let me challenge you. We talked at the beginning of the year about, 5:15:10. 5:10:15. Taking 15 minutes, if it's not your practice, to spend time in God's Word. 5 minutes in God's Word, 5 minutes of praise, and 5 minutes of prayer. Or if you want to venture to go higher than that, do 10, 10, and 10. But we need to feed our minds on truth. You know, I've shared this before. When they train bank tellers and others who handle currency to identify counterfeit money, do you know that primarily they don't do that by studying counterfeit money? What they do is they have people who handle currency become so familiar with the real thing, with all the attributes and all of the fail-safe mechanisms that are on the printed currency. So they're so familiar. So when they see something that's counterfeit, they just see something and they notice that's just not right. I believe that's how it is with the Word of God. When we fill our minds with the Word of God, we come across something that just seems a little off. Why does it seem off? And we confirm the Word of God. That's because the Word of God says something else. So feed our minds on truth. What's the second habit to have a healthy mind? Secondly, I must free my mind from destructive thoughts. I must free my mind from destructive thoughts. There are three forces that wage battle against your mind. Did you know that? I almost named this sermon the battleground of the mind. Because the mind is a great battleground for you and me. Do we realize that? Victories are won and lost in the battleground of the mind. Three forces wage battle against your mind. First, your old nature. Your old nature. Romans 8:5 says, those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. I mean, that's there in black and white. The fact of the matter is, when we become Christians, we don't lose our old nature, our sinful nature. The King James translates that the flesh. Heard that expression? The flesh. The sinful nature. The Bible says we're all born with a sinful nature. We inherited that from our parents, Adam and Eve, everyone on the planet. And when we become believers, we don't lose that sinful nature. We gain a new nature. But that's where the battle lies. Do I listen to the impulses of the old nature? Or do I reinforce the impulses of the new nature according to the Spirit of God? See, that's a battle. Come on, we know this, don't we? Don't we? And there's a choice, there's a point of decision, and many times we fail because we give in to the flesh. We give in to what the old nature wants instead of having the mind of the Spirit. So your old nature is waging war against your mind 24/7, even when you sleep. The second force that wages battle against your mind is Satan. The old nature is within you. Satan is against you. Now, Satan cannot force you to think about certain things. He can't read your mind, but he can make suggestions. Anybody ever had Satan make suggestions to you? Here's another saying I came across. I love this. Don't believe everything you think. We get thoughts in our mind and we dwell on them and we just kind of let them marinate a bit and we convince ourselves that it's truth. In the scriptures, Jesus described Satan as a liar and the father of lies. And I think many times we are defeated because we believe the father of lies. He's speaking lies into your spirit. Don't believe everything you think. Just because you think it doesn't make it true. Peter said he goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. What's his primary tool? His primary tool is an attack against your mind and my mind. So we have our old nature from within us waging war against our mind, Satan who is against us, and then the third force waging battle against our minds is the world's values. This is around us. It's promoted by TV, movies, songs, etc. Obey your thirst. Remember that? Marketing campaign. The world's values wage war against our minds. Listen to what John said in 1 John 2:15 through 17. Listen to this. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5 says, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. James 1:14 through 15. Each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Psalm 119:112, I have made up my mind to obey your laws forever, no matter what. You know, the values of the world, they come at us in disguise. And we buy in to what we hear sometimes. For instance, have you heard this? You should be able to love whoever you want to love. You heard that? People should be able to love whoever they want to love. Well, that sounds good, doesn't it? I mean, that sounds good to me, to my flesh. People should be able to love whoever they want to love. But we know what's behind that. It's an endorsement of a sinful lifestyle that the Bible specifically prohibits. That God didn't make us for that type of lifestyle. You understand what I'm saying? So the values of the world, they assault our mind in disguise, and we're not fed on the Word of God, and we just, right. We need to be on guard. If you travel to the caves of Kentucky and other parts of the South, you can see enormous pillars that have been formed by the steady dripping of water from the roofs of the caves. Water will drop a single drop. Maybe some of you have seen this. A single drop at a time. And of course, in the water is sediment. And that water will drop, and one drop after another. And what happens? That sediment causes, from several drops, causes it to form a pillar. And the constant dripping, that pillar, and you have on the floor of those caves, you have stone pillars that are formed one drop at a time. And the sediment in those drops of water band together and form a rock-hard stone pillar. And that's how the thinking of the world and the attacks of Satan and the attacks of our old nature, that's how they form pillars, if you will, in our minds. One little harmless drip at a time. One little thought contrary to the Word of God, to truth at a time. And what happens? We, as I said, we formulate these patterns of thinking, these destructive patterns of thinking in our hearts and minds, and it does damage to us. We need to guard our minds from destructive thoughts. They pile up in our mind. They form pillars in our lives that are destructive. You ever have a few things go wrong? And I've done this. I'm full disclosure, guilty. Things don't start out in the beginning well in the beginning of the day. This is going to be one of those days. Right? Whether you say it out loud, you think it. Oh, I can tell. This is going to be one of those days. Well, guess what? If you think like that, it probably will. Right? I've done it. We do it. And our destructive thought patterns do damage to our spiritual lives. Church, we are not of we belong to a kingdom not of this world. We belong to the kingdom of Almighty God. We need to guard our minds against the assault of our old nature, the assaults of Satan who comes against us, and the assault of the values of the world around us that are antithetical to the Word of God. We need to guard our minds. And you and I need to look at the sources of information that we allow to feed our minds, and we need to say enough in some cases. So I need to feed my mind with truth. I need to free my mind from destructive thoughts. Third thing I need to do to have a healthy mind, I must focus my mind on the right things. What are our minds focused on? Well, I want to suggest to you three things upon which we should focus our mind. The first is think about Jesus. Think about Jesus. Did you know it's okay to think about Jesus on days other than, on times other than Sunday mornings in church? Of course you do. 2 Timothy 2:8 says, keep your mind on Jesus Christ. Keep your mind on Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12:2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. To fix our eyes means to focus. I wonder if we could measure this, how much time we Christians who bear the name of Jesus Christ, I wonder how much of our time we spend thinking about Jesus as opposed to thinking about our problems or other things. I'm not suggesting you just sit and meditate all day long, but throughout your day, throughout my day, do we think about Jesus? We sing songs that say how much we love him. Can I tell you something? When you love someone, they're on your mind. Right? Come on. Do we love him as much as we sing about on Sunday mornings? Think about Jesus. Who he is, what he's done for you. Let me tell you, the reason we have communion on a regular basis is because we tend to be forgetful. Jesus said, do this to remember. We need to remember, we need to think about what he's done. That never gets old. If you knew someone who gave their life for you, who rescued you and gave their life for you, would you ever forget about that? Would that ever fade into the past? I don't think so. Jesus Christ gave his life for us. Think about Jesus. Secondly, we need to focus our mind by thinking about others. Thinking about others. You ever hear this phrase? I'm sharing a lot of phrases, a lot of cliches with you today, but they have truth in them. It's not about you. It's not about you. Hebrews 10:24, each of you should look not only to your own interest, Philippians 2:4, each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Hebrews 10:24, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. It's about others. And I, you know, my wife and I, especially lately, have felt the kindness and the love of you all. You've been so good to us. And we're so grateful. But I'm so proud of this congregation because I sense the heart and the love of Jesus. Let me just encourage you to keep that up. I know we have our own burdens. We have our own challenges in life. But there's something just right about focusing on other people. And then what's the third thing that's to think about? Think about Jesus. Think about others. Think about eternity. Colossians 3:2, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. 1 Corinthians 2:9-10, however, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. We, of all people, should be eternity-minded. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, if we only have hope in this life, we are of all men most miserable. You know? If our grandest hope, if our highest aspiration centers on this life and this earth, and our, you know, 70, 80, 90, 100 years, if we're lucky, on this earth, we are a miserable lot. But that's not the case for the Christian. Do we understand that however long we live on this earth, that's just a drop in the bucket? It says in one place in the scripture, life is like a vapor. You know, you squirt a little vapor in the air. How long can you see it? 1 second? 2? Compared to eternity, our life on earth is like that vapor, here and gone. Of all people, we should be eternally minded. We should invest ourselves in things of eternal value. We should always keep the finish line in view while we're running this race. I preached to you last week about the race. While we're running this race, we should keep the finish line in view. A laser is a powerful force. Do you know it can cut through steel? It does eye surgery and other kinds of surgery. But you know what a laser is, don't you? Focused light. Focused light, that's all it is. But when it's narrow, it's focused. It's powerful. When we have a focus to fix our eyes on Jesus, to think about the interests of others before our own, to dwell on our eternal destiny, man, we become a powerful force. Amen? We become powerful in the kingdom of God. So, as I conclude this morning, we need to understand, church, that we need to manage our minds. We have a choice in how we think. And I want to challenge you. I'm challenging myself. I've said many times from this pulpit, before I stand up here and preach a sermon, God preaches it to me. Often several times. So this applies to me as well as you. We need to challenge ourselves, our patterns of thinking, destructive patterns of thinking in our lives. We need to manage our minds, manage our thinking. How do we do that? First of all, we need to feed our minds with truth. We need to get into the Word of God. We need to be rock solid in understanding what truth is. Are you feeding your mind with the truth or with everything but the truth? We need to feed our minds with truth. Secondly, we need to free our minds from destructive thoughts. The assault of our old nature, the assault of Satan coming against us, the assault of the world's values on our minds. Are you and I honest and objective and open enough to see these destructive forces at work in our minds? We need to free ourselves from that. And thirdly, we need to focus our minds on the right things. Things of value. Fix our eyes on Jesus, our example. We need to focus on the needs of others above and beyond our own. We need to think about things that matter, eternal things. Focus our minds on the right things. How we think, our patterns of thought, so important. And I just... we're going to bring this service to a close. And my prayer for each of us is that God would just come and that we would surrender our thoughts and our minds and our feelings, our attitudes, yes, our hurts, yes, our difficulties, and submit them all to the Lord and say, Lord, I give you control of my mind.